I was remiss in praying for our youth missions team. I believe they're coming out of Mexico today. And so pray that the border works like it's supposed to work and that they might be able to catch their flight back tomorrow. And so let's please be in prayer for them. And then those of you that get the missionary letters from our missionary who's doing local Muslim ministry, please be praying for him. He's dealing with copyright issues, and that he very much needs the Lord's intervention to get around copyright restrictions in the development of his film that he's seeking to put together. And so I'll just leave that at that as well. And then as well, Caitlin Wright is in Manitoba, sharing at a church there this morning as well. So trust that you're following our missionaries and actively praying for them. And that before I begin, maybe we can just pray for our youth missions team as they make the transition out of Mexico today. So let's just take a moment to pray for them. But dear Father, we're praying for this youth missions team as they transition out of Mexico today. Pray that they might be able to get through the border without any difficulties and into the States. And that Heavenly Father, that you might work out the details of their flight tomorrow, and that they might be able to return safely. And so we're just thankful for the opportunity they've had over this past week to be involved in building this house and that being impactful in the lives of the ministry there in Juarez. And so we just pray that this trip might have been deeply impactful in their lives over this week. Heavenly Father, we're also just praying for that you might speak to us this morning. For we pray it in your name. Amen. I've titled my message, A Perfect Team, and I realize that many of you were watching your phones this morning to see what the results are going to be of the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, and especially with one of our contests that was ongoing this morning. And that I did see part of the score, but that's all I got to see. But I understand that the results are already known, and I'll just leave it at that. But many countries have come together in this Winter Olympics, and I believe it's Milano, Italy, and that I believe there was 93 countries that came together for the Winter Olympics. Some 3,500 different athletes gathered together to compete, not only for themselves, but also to compete for their country and the glory of their country. And if you've been following the stats, for some seeming reason, Norway has come out, I believe, on the top for the medal count, and that a country probably half the size of Canada, and I believe Canada came in at number 11 and stuff. So much is still needed for our country to be able to do even better in these Olympics. But they handed out some 195 different medals over 16 disciplines, and each of them were involved in preparing for this discipline that they would have put much work into it. But one of the things that most of us were recently looking at was the whole competition, the hockey competition. We were cheering on the women this past the other day and hoping that they would be able to overcome. And we're thankful that they were able to get silver, but in the next competition, we will hopefully they'll be able to come back even stronger. But we were also following our men's competition, and as I've shared already, that a little disappointed in the results for them. But we as a country were gathered together. It's almost like a unity was taking place as we gathered around them, cheering them on towards victory here this morning. And we're thankful for them as a team. And as I shared, a national unity around our team and cheering them on to victory. As spectators, we can only imagine all the work that went into their preparation. Each of them, especially as the NHL was involved in the Olympics this year, we know that the skill set that each of those guys have gone through, and the women as well, over the years to bring themselves to the epitome of their craft, epitome of their sport, and to be able to play at that level, and all the work and the dedication that went in. See, they had to hone their skills over many years, and if you know anything about our hockey tradition, they grow up through the junior league and then to the junior A league and then up into the NHL and then to the level that they have recently reached. But then there's also the disciplined life of physical strengthening and conditioning that goes into their preparation as well. That each of them, as we watch them play, they've got great skill. But they've got great skill because they've been able to discipline themselves in their conditioning and in their preparation. There's many of them who go without things that we regularly enjoy because their craft or their discipline of life does not allow them to be involved in that. And so we are thankful for their conditioning. And this is only part of what is needed, is they have to learn how to take up these skills and combine them with others and to form a team. And so it takes far more than just the ability that they have. They have to be able to put their abilities together. They have to be able to form their conditioning and be able to work together towards a common goal, a common opportunity to win their games and to reach the top as well. And so they have to learn how to work together in cohesion with one another. As we grow in our understanding of this cohesion when it comes to the field of sport, we see a parallel to the picture that Paul presents for us when it comes to the body of Christ working together in as a unit. As Paul uses the principle of the human body to describe the work of the church and how its members should work together. And so as we look at that sport and we see how they work together, how they dovetail together, how those who are gifted as forwards and those who are gifted as defense and goalies were able to combine their skills in a cohesion with one another to be able to achieve great success on the playing field. And so as we look at the body of Christ, we see some similar parallels for ourselves as well. As Paul, in the Word of God, refers to us as the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, each of us comes with many different skills, many different backgrounds, many different things that God has blessed you with and skill sets. And as we come together this morning, we need to combine those skill sets. We need to combine the gifts that God has given to us as we came in salvation and faith and repentance at one time. And then God gifted us with many different gifts. At least one gift we know for sure for each of us. And so we can have those skills, that talents, but we need to bring them together in cohesion with one another. See, we see in the book of Romans, the first 11 chapters, Paul laid down extensive teaching on doctrine. And so for 11 chapters of Romans, we see that he laid out a doctrinal position, doctrinal truths that we need to grow in our understanding of. But the last five chapters are of a more practical nature, on how those who are children of God should be treating one another, how we should take what we know and the truths that we know, how do we apply those truths into our lives? It takes far more than a theological, systematic theological position to be able to come together and to be able to dovetail that into a ministry with each other. How do we apply it practically? How do we apply practically the truths that God has laid down for us as we interact with each other, as we interact with those who are not yet believers? And how are we going to be effective as a team, especially when we look at the team here at Osler Mission Chapel? How are we going to be effective in our community that God has called us to be able to minister to? And the skill set and the gifts that he has given to you and he's given to me. Our impact will be blunted when we carry the image to the human body if we do not learn how to work together, and we will be unhealthy, and we will have an unhealthy disposition within this ministry. So if we are going to work together, then we need to learn how to bring cohesion out of what God has blessed us with. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to take a few moments and look at the 12th chapter of Romans, the first five verses. Romans chapter 12. And let's take a few moments to look at the first five verses, starting at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Paul begins with two principles that need to be true for a foundation of being able to work in cohesion with one another. And see, we can talk about the gifts, and we can mention the different gifts that God has given us. We can even maybe talk and have different meetings about how this gift interacts with this gift, or that gift needs to be involved in this ministry. But it all comes with a foundation here, as we see in verse 1, that Paul beseeches the believer to present his body as a living and a holy sacrifice. We are called to a consecrated life where we acknowledge and submit to the sovereignty of God in our lives. And until we bring ourselves in humility and submit ourselves before the throne of God, not just as a one-time event, as important as that is, where he brought us into us being children of God. He's talking about here, this is a daily reality that needs to be present in each of our lives. That daily we bring ourselves to the altar and say, God, my body belongs to you, and I'm presenting it to you today. We need to submit ourselves to the sovereignty of God. It's a voluntary act on our part and is a requirement of a constant nature. We need to keep bringing ourselves back to the altar, because we have a constant habit of seeking to move away and from allowing God to rule in and through our lives. True Christian service and living must begin with personal dedication to the Lord. The Christian who fails in life is the one who has first failed at the altar, refusing to surrender completely to Christ and allow Christ to rule over our lives as he sees fit. Not just as we came in salvation, as I shared already, as important as that is, to begin as a child of God, but as we daily seek to submit to him, that we allow God to rule our lives daily. As we seek to begin our days, we seek to spend a moment and say, God, this day belongs to you. I ask you to overrule it, to be in it and through every aspect of this day, and allow God to have his part in the interruptions that come into our lives. And God was willing to do that. The second foundational principle is renewing our minds. The ways of the world are contrary to the ways of God. And what is communicated to us on a continual basis is contrary to what God would desire for us to move forward in. Instead, to renew our minds as for him and with his principles, again, deny the world's principles that seemingly want to take over. True dedication is the presenting of the body, mind, and will to God day by day. It is daily yielding the body to him, having the mind renewed by the word, and surrendering the will through prayer and obedience. Every Christian is either a conformer or living for and like the world, or a transformer, daily becoming more like Christ. And so this morning, are you a conformer to the principles of the world, or are you a transformer, daily becoming more like Christ and allowing him to use his word to seek to change our thinking? How much time are we spending in God's word and allowing God's word to permeate how we view and how we view the world situations, how we view life and our interactions with one another? We are transformed as we allow the Spirit to reveal Christ through the Word of God. A proper opinion of ourselves is the immediate effect of a surrender to God and a transformative mind. Paul in verse 3 shares from the grace that has been given to him a message to everyone in the body of Christ, that they are not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think in relation to being surrendered to God. It's a principle here of all the things that he could have communicated to the Ephesians. He seeks to begin here with the practical thing of the importance of having a right thinking, the importance of having humility in our lives, that we understand who I am in Christ, that we're not to think more highly than we ought to, but yet we are to have an understanding of who we are in Christ as well, the importance of that. He's not saying that we need to scrape the floor with ourselves. That's not what he's teaching here. What he's teaching is we need to understand who I am and who Christ has allowed me to become because of his work in my life. And Paul says that's where we need to have our understanding. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 shares, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Specifically talking about him in his place as one of the apostles. But here he seeks to present to us that he sought to live his life in the grace of God. I am what I am because of the grace of God. And I stand before you this morning with an understanding that I am what I am because that's God's grace in my life. And I acknowledge his grace in and through my life. And who and allow how he has allowed me to become who I am. But then Paul also, that his grace toward me did not prove vain. And so he sought to operate in God's grace and ministry. As he sought to do everything that he did, he sought to move in God's empowering grace in his life. Grace had been extended to him to be an apostle, but also to minister for the Lord in that same grace. And we this morning need to understand that is the grace that we need to operate in as well daily. And so unless we are coming before him and presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice and then moving forward, saying, God, your grace is what I'm going to need as I seek to move forward. Whatever that looks like, God, I want to operate in your grace. Out of all the ways that Paul could have made application of a life of surrender and renewed mind, he begins with admonition towards humility. Before he gets to instruction on the body and the gifts, he stops to admonish the believers about having proper thinking. Thinking that is not more highly than should be, but also not lowlier either. God has allotted to the church, the body, various gifts in proportion as he saw fit. Every believer receives the exact gift and resources best suited to fulfill his role in the body of Christ. And so he says here that everyone has been given a measure of faith. And this measure means that it's not necessarily equal with everyone else. And I believe that God's gift of faith towards us, the faith to believe, which was important. But when it comes to his handing out as an allotment of gifts of faith, I believe that we can have different measures. And so when he comes to the whole area of the gifts that he does give to each one of us, that each of you have been given a gift. But each of you have been given a gift in different measure with someone else as well. Every believer receives the exact gift and resources best suited to fulfill his role in the body of Christ. And we know from Ephesians 3 verse 10 that he has prepared a way before us. That each of us, that in eternity past, God has already prepared a path for us. And he gave us the gifts and the enablement to be able to do what he's called us to do. And he placed us within the body of Christ so that we might be able to utilize the gifts of each other as well to be able to achieve that with each other. Beforehand, he thought of you and thought of his church and allotted to you a gift and measure as he saw fit to achieve unity in the body of Christ. And so he, in eternity past, he looked forward to Osler Mission Chapel. He looked forward to each one of you being here as you are a child of God, gifted by him, and the importance of that gift in the enablement of this ministry with one another. Paul uses a picture of a body which had many members with different functions. Each of the members of our body works in unity to make the body function. Unity does not mean that every member has the same function or purpose. Some of the members may have a more prominent role and a role that elicits more praise. And that is often the case in the body of Christ. And often we are sitting back and we're wishing, God, if you'd only given me the gift of being able to be a teacher, or God, if you'd only given me the gift of being helps, and that way maybe I'd have something, a resource to be able to help with, or whatever prominent gift. But God, in eternity past, knew about you. As we see from the book of Ephesians, as we're slowly working through it in our Connect class, we're seeing there that eternity past, he adopted you in for salvation. He gave you and he knew about you and he gave you, I'd like to give this gift to this individual because it's going to be important for that ministry. And he gave you a role. When one of the members decides it does not want to function as designed, then it affects the whole and becomes noticeable. One little member can stop the function of the whole. When all of a sudden one of us says, well, I really don't like what God has gifted me with. I'd rather have something else. And it affects the whole ministry, and especially when you look at the function of the body and how all of a sudden when one member of the body decides, well, I'd rather not be what I am. I'd rather be something different, and how it affects the whole role. You have been redeemed and placed in the church with a specific gift, and maybe more than one gift, which is needed for the calling that God has for his church. God has placed Osner Mission Chapel in the community to work collectively for his glory and for the furtherance of his kingdom. And so if we are going to be effective as a ministry here, then we are going to need you. We're going to need each one of us in this ministry because we need the gift that God has gifted you with towards the ministry advancement here. I'm reminded of a story of a missionary who was involved in ministry, I believe, somewhere in the Caribbean. I'm not sure in the truthfulness of the story. I just heard that over the years that this story was told of working on a missionary base somewhere in the Caribbean. This missionary couple enjoyed peanut butter. They were not able to get peanut butter in that country. And so what they did is they got one of their supporters to send them a regular amount of peanut butter in through the mail or through the means that they had. Well, their other missionaries on that base were soon started to tease them, ride them, and say, well, you can't live without peanut butter. Like, why do you have to have peanut butter being delivered to you? Because they enjoyed it. Eventually, that missionary couple got so abused that they left the ministry and went home over that. The unity that they had was interrupted because somebody couldn't get past the fact that they could live without peanut butter. Now, it has special focus to me because I can well live without peanut butter, but I know that there's many others that really enjoy it, and I will appreciate it in my family that those who enjoy peanut butter. But that's just one little thing that created disunity in something that that had unity. There also needs to be, as there needs to be unity, there also needs to be diversity. There needs to be those who enjoy peanut butter, and there needs to be those who don't enjoy peanut butter, just so that we can tease each other and have fun with one another. Not every individual member has the same gift and thus not the same function. Those that may have the same gift do not have the same proportion as others. In the parable of the talents, we see somebody had 10 talents, and as he came and gave a report to his master, he said, I returned with the 10, but also managed to gain 10 more. And God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the one who had 5, even though he had only half of the other, and God gave him the same response, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the one who came back with 1, he could have just invested it, and God would have been happy if he just had put it in the bank and draw interest off of it. But he failed to do that. Many times we're so busy admiring those who have a gift that we crave, that we fail to appreciate the God who gave us our gifts. And if we would stop and say, wow, if God in eternity past thought about me, and he thought specifically of you to the fact that I would like him to have this gift and the importance of that gift in his life and ministry. And so that we could one day report back to our master as well. What do we do with what God has entrusted us with? The human body needs the eye as it needs the big toe. And we are finding out through research that the members of the body have significant purpose in the proper running of the body as a whole. Have you ever tried to function without your big toe functioning the way it should? It kind of throws your balance off, doesn't it? Or all of a sudden, the eye seemingly has issues. It throws a lot of things out as well. Difficulties come when an important function is not being carried out, and others who are not necessarily gifted in that area must try and fulfill its function. The result is that it does not work as efficiently as it could. And what we have to do is often is that the rest of the body has to compensate for the part that isn't seemingly working. And the body does not work to the as efficiently as it should. Often we push back against our diversity. Instead of rejoicing in the fact that God has equipped this ministry with individuals, that he has equipped for the outworking of this ministry, can we stop and praise the Lord that he has equipped other believers with gifts that differ from our giftedness? Can we stop and say, God, thank you that person obviously has this gift in this area. And before I just lift up praise to you because they are involved in that gift. And I want to thank you for that. But God, here's my gift. I want to entrust that gift to you and seek to use it as you see fit. There's also the truth that we will, as the servants with the talents, be called to give an account for how we fulfilled the plan that God has prepared for us. There's going to be a day when we stand before the Lord and he's going to ask us, what did you do with the gift that I gave you? With what I sought to entrust you with, what did you do with that? And there is coming a day when the body of Christ will stand before the Lord and we will give an account for what he has entrusted for us. As God in creation was diverse in the many foliage and animals that he created, he was diverse in creating each of us as children and equipping us for the path that he prepared for us. Can we be thankful for the diversity that God has entrusted and put in our midst? Unity without diversity is uniformity, but diversity without unity is anarchy. Unity without diversity is uniformity, but diversity without unity is anarchy. The only thing that can balance unity and diversity is maturity. The third principle is interdependency of the members. Paul stated that we are individual members of one another. No matter how humble my gift may be, every other member of the body depends on it. Even as the eye that sees danger needs the feet to flee from the danger. And so if we are going to be complete, and if we are going to be effective in the ministry that God has called us to, then we need you, we need the big toe to function, we need the feet to function, we need the knees to function, we need the eyes to function as they are to function. And the importance, I am dependent upon and blessed by even the humblest contribution of every other member. Each of us belongs to the mystical body of Christ and needs the other members of that body. The Christian faith is therefore, in its essence, a corporate experience. Although each member has come to faith by separate and individual act of faith, the believing community lives out its Christian experience in fellowship with one another. And so we need each other. We need the body of Christ. We need to gather together collectively because it's important as God has not entrusted me with all the gifts, has not entrusted Pastor Gary with all the gifts. And we need each one of you. And we are dependent upon you that as we seek to lead this ministry forward, your gift that God has entrusted with you. No man is an island is true of the Church of Jesus Christ. Lone Ranger Christianity is a contradiction in terms. If your life seems stuck, even though you read your Bible and prayer, it may be that you are neglecting getting together with other believers and are depriving yourself of the exchange necessary for spiritual growth. We need each other. We need to operate in community. And God has given us this community here. And God has entrusted us with life groups as well, that you might be able to operate in community, that you might be that encouragement and that blessing in somebody else's life. We know from 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, regularly gathering with other believers for worship, prayer, communion, and the teaching of God's word is essential for spiritual growth. It's important that we are here. It's important that we are in fellowship with other believers. As God gives us opportunity through the week, however that looks like, whether you have a group at your work or whether you have a group that is like a life group that you get together with, to be involved in being together whereby we can worship and that we can pray and we can commune with one another. In Acts 2:42, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. The church exploded during those years, at those early years. And I believe it was largely because they gathered together in community with one another. They seek to have things in common with one another. James 5:16 even shares, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Wow, when was the last time you confessed your sins to another? Well, probably a long time. But it's like James here is encouraging us. If we are going to be able to do that, we need to be operating in community with one another. God has built his church so that we are dependent on each other. So how does this truth work itself out for me? We need to welcome and commit to community and find ways to incorporate it into our lives in ways that allow us to grow in the use of our giftedness. What is that community going to look like for you as you lay that out before the Lord? Is that in life group? Is that in connect ministry? Or whether that is Sunday morning fellowship? The importance of that? Or how is that going to work out for you? Maybe on your job site you have those who are part of the family of God where you can gather together. as another opportunity that God may give. Volunteer in various ministries to find out how God has uniquely gifted you. You will quickly know if you are gifted for children's ministry. Just get involved. Say, I'd like to try this out. You'll soon find out whether children's ministry is for you. Maybe it's not for you. And you can say, thank you, I learned something, that children's ministry isn't for me. Or maybe youth ministry. And very quickly you find out, no, maybe youth ministry isn't for me. Or maybe it's involved in teaching Connect. Or maybe it's involved in being an usher or being somebody who clears the sidewalks. And I know Aaron would sure like to have some volunteers come forward and say, I'd like to take my turn in keeping these sidewalks clear around the church. Whatever ministry that God has blessed you with, to be able to volunteer and find your place in the family. It may not be as a teacher, so you need to try out different roles. Volunteer in different age groups. As God shows you your gift, determine to work with others in it. Or mentor somebody else in that gift as well. I'm thankful for each one who has found their place and is involved in the ministry here as we seek to work forward. And I know that Braden has very much been blessed when the church gathered together to support their missions trip into Mexico. And they reached their budget very quickly. And we're thankful for each person over this week who prayed. And I know that others who are going through various sicknesses as well are thankful because they're feeling the prayers of God's people in and through that sickness. So please, find your place that we might be a united team together, thankful for each other that we are different and that you are different, that God has equipped you differently. And I can appreciate how God has blessed you. But let's learn how to bring that all together in a cohesive movement moving forward, that we might see the ministry of Ozer Mission Chapel be effective to what God has called us to for his glory and for the building of his church. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, once again, thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the truth of who you made us to be and that we need each other. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for each person here this morning, that you brought them out here this morning and that their part that they play in my life, and I'm thankful for them. And trust that we can be thankful for each other and how you have equipped them and how you have allowed them to be part of this ministry. And Heavenly Father, just thank you for your grace in each of our lives. For praying this in your name, amen. Remember, we have a couple people here at the front who would love to pray for you if you so need. Thank you, and God bless.